Chair Big Horse?
Yes, ma'am.
It's 10:22, and I've got us turned on. We're ready to go.
Okay. I'd like to call this Government Operations Committee meeting together to order 10:20 a.m., May 14th, the year 2020. Roll call, please.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Walker? Congressman Walker? Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congressman Big Horse?
Present. We have a quorum, and for those of you that may not have been on, Congressman Walker is running about 10 minutes behind, so he should be joining us here in just a little bit. So that being said, Congresswoman Lemon, would you render a morning prayer for us?
Congresswoman Lemon, your device is muted.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Your device was muted.
Yes.
I was asking if you would render a prayer for us this morning.
Oh, I'm very sorry. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Give me just one moment, please. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to serve the Osage Nation and the constituency. We ask that you lay your hands and wrap your arms around us and the entire world so that we may have some relief from the stress and anxiety of the unknown going forward in the future. We know that with your love and support that we will come out of this current situation better. We ask that you continue to help guide us, show us the way down the path, in hopes that we can and will be better for all the suffering and struggles that we have and will go through. We ask that you help us find a way in a positive manner to ensure that we have plenty of food and
moving on, item number four, approval of minutes. We'll take just a couple of minutes to review the yesterday.
Chair Big Horse, we had some callers enter into the call. Could we check and see if one of those might be Congressman Walker? Dana, I've lost sound again.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented. Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, moving on to item number five. I know my recollection is that we postponed this until we received some physical analysis, and I did receive that from Congresswoman Whitehorn, and I'm assuming the rest of the committee did also. So with that being said, Congresswoman Whitehorn, you have the floor, ma'am.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, you're muted.
Thank you, Congressman Big Horse. Yes, you do have the fiscal analysis that were discussed in yesterday's meeting. Our budget analyst, Mr. Frazier, has supplied them, and I would like to thank him for the work that he's done on this. And also I'd like to thank our clerk for going back into the office to stamp it in and send this out to you so you would have it overnight and not have it just first thing this morning. So I'm not looking at the agenda right now, Chairman Big Horse. We are on ONCR 2005 right now. Is that the agenda item we're on?
That's correct.
Okay, so you have the fiscal analysis for that. Our rules state that if a piece of legislation is going to make a financial change or impact the finances and revenue of the nation, that we have a fiscal analysis done on it. And so this is one that is for that resolution. It has really good information in it. We also have Mr. Frazier here with us today. Should the committee have any questions of him, I'm going to let the functions of this fiscal analysis speak for itself. So if there are any questions, I'm going to yield back to the chair how he wants to proceed with the meeting as we look at this. Thank you.
Okay. And Congresswoman, I appreciate the information. So I open the floor up to questions. I know the questions that I had were pertaining to the differences if we should switch over to Social Security versus the 7.65%. I think there was like a 30-some thousand dollar figure that would be that would cost us a little more, but then correct me if I'm wrong, Congresswoman Whitehorn, there's another place where it's kind of a wash.
Yes, sir. Chairman, there will be a slight savings in our budget. We have two factors going. It was from my reading of the fiscal analysis, Mr. Frazier figured it on our current salary at $65,000 annually. And then in another paragraph, he also gave you the numbers if the decrease, the 10% decrease in our pay that is in ONCA 2041 is adopted, then the amount would be less that the nation would be obligated to pay in for Social Security. Currently, at our $65,000 pay rate, it would increase by $34,807. If the 10% decrease is adopted, then it would result in $31,326 more that the nation would pay in to the Social Security Administration for the 12 members of Congress. Actually, I guess it would be for seven more members of Congress, because currently there's five, I believe, that the nation already covers this benefit for, because at this current time it's optional. So yes, that those numbers are expressed in the fiscal analysis.
Anyway, that's my read. I read both fiscal analysis.
Okay, thank you, Congressman. Any other questions?
Mr. Big Horse, this is
Congresswoman.
Thank you, Chairman Big Horse. So I want to say a thank you to Congresswoman Whitehorn for supplying us with the fiscal analysis. The fiscal analysis on this particular resolution, because I believe there can be some confusion going forward for some listening audience. So I want to be extremely clear in what we're presenting, and I believe that the fiscal analysis does that. I'm not saying that we're not trying to be. However, to reiterate what Congressman Walker just pointed out, is that we're talking about the resolution that's in front of us right now, and there is a companion piece that Congresswoman Whitehorn also has for a reduction in salaries of 10%. And I believe that the comments that I heard earlier was that it's a wash, in the sense that I guess what I'm understanding is that if both of these pieces of if the resolution passes and the piece of legislation passes for us to have a reduction in salaries, that would be considered where the wash is and the equaling out, that it would be an increase for the resolution, but a decrease in our pay, therefore it would equal out. So I would like if I could ask Chairman Big Horse, for Mr. Frazier to, if he would be willing to compare the two pieces in front of us, which is the resolution and the the piece of legislation. I don't know the number and I don't have it in front of me. I do apologize. Where Congresswoman Whitehorn has presented a decrease, a 10% cut in our annual salaries. If Mr. Frazier could speak to or let us know something of the actual total end result, if both pieces of legislation were to pass, the dollar figure, is it an absolute increase, is it a total decrease, or is it a complete equaling out, meaning that we're trading one for the other, in other words. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Congressman.
This is
Mr. Frazier.
Okay. So if both were to pass, it would be a total savings of about $52,159. So the decrease in the legislative budget would be about 2.61%.
Mr. Chair, this is Brandy. May I follow?
Yes, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Frazier. So, in order for us to have an actual decrease, both of these pieces of legislation would have, pieces of the resolution and ONCA 2041 would have to pass Congress. So let's play hypothetical that this one, this particular piece passes and the other piece doesn't pass, which would, let's say the resolution that we're talking about on the table now passes through Congress. And then the ONCA 2041 doesn't pass through Congress, then therefore we are at an increase. Is that not correct, Mr. Frazier?
Mr. Frazier?
Yes, it would be an increase of about $34,870. So the increase would be about 1.75% of the legislative budget.
Mr. Chair, may I continue?
Yes, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just wanted to be, you know, absolutely clear for everyone that is listening in, because I know that everybody here, I don't know that everybody here, but I mean, we have had the opportunity to look at the fiscal analysis. And so these two particular pieces of that are in front of us, the resolution and ONCA 2041, in order for us to have a total reduction of $52,000 from our annual budget, they would both have to pass Congress with in a majority vote. So the resolution in front of us is an actual increase, and it's a mandated and mandatory for us to pay and send your monies to the U.S. government. I've always had to pay into them as a regular employee, you know, who's worked here, you know, who's been a working a member of the society. And I don't hold a second job. This is the only job that I do have. I did take a pay cut to come to Congress. I'm not complaining. I took it willingly. I signed up for it. And I don't utilize the benefit that the option that we have right now. Could I possibly use it in the future? There's a possibility that I could, but I don't use it currently. And so I'm not in favor of our money going to the U.S. government at this point in time with the particular situation that our U.S. government is in. I don't know how they're going to continue to send money to people, if they're going to print more of it, if they're going to borrow more of it. You know, I think it's a little bit, no, I know that for me, I'm not comfortable with it, even though I'm not paying into this to make it mandatory that your money's have to go to the U.S. government. The whole entire point of being a sovereign nation is having the ability to not have to utilize some of the federal mandates that are out there. So I just feel that at this point in time, with the situation that our current U.S. government is in, that it's premature. And I'm just not in support of this today. I'm saying I couldn't support it another time, but I'm just not in support of it. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Any other question or comment?
Chairman Big Horse. Hearing.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I think as I said yesterday, and I don't want to repeat my, you know, I don't want to go back around the same tree, but up until October of 18, tribal governments were not allowed, the tribal councils, the portions of the governing body were not allowed by a IRS circular to pay into Social Security benefit structure. When the act was passed in October 18, sovereign governments were given the choice to do so, some thinking it might benefit their employees, maybe some thinking it doesn't benefit their employees. I realize that we're in a different state right now with all of the things that have gone on around this pandemic. You know, I've always supported and wondered why that IRS circular prohibited tribal nations from taking part in the Social Security Administration. And I have always supported that we should try you know, that would be the best thing for our governing body. I understand making sovereign choices, but I also understand that all of our employees, including the chief and assistant chief, are currently operating under that structure. To me, since I've been on this body in 2012, I understood the practice of having our own special 401k that was considered our Social Security portion that we were disallowed by the federal government to pay. And I understand why it was in place. And as Congresswoman Lemon said, she doesn't participate in it. I haven't participated in it. But I understand why it's there and why members have participated in it. Now we have the choice to make for our government officials to what I see to be fairly distribute that benefit and not just have a benefit that 12 members of Congress have the ability or inability to opt into. That's not offered to other elected officials, just 12 people. I realize that if we don't act on ONCA 2041, that it will be a 34,000, I believe, I don't want to say it wrong, that it will be an increase to our congressional budget. But even so, I have always supported the idea of us all paying in and not having a special benefits account for our body. We now have the ability in my mind to correct that. And I hope that we would want to do that. I do, but it's up to each member to make that choice. So thank you. I'll throw the floor back to you, Mr. Chair.
Chair Brickhorst, this is Alice.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Move to report ONCR 20-05 to Congress with no recommendation.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second. Walker.
We have a motion.
Chair Brickhorst, Speaker Tillman, I'm here in the Chambers, I believe we have lost you. The last that I heard was there was a motion and a second. Can anyone hear me? I don't think they can.
Is that just the matching of the Social Security, or is that also the 5% match?
My understanding of the program, and so this is an assumption, was that it was based on the FICA equivalent, the total FICA equivalent of 7.65%. I was told that there were probably 5 participating members, so I took the FICA tax equivalent of 7.65% of the $65,000 salary, and I multiplied that by 5, and that's how I got the $24,000.
Okay, so that would not include
Thank you, Mr. Frazier. Congresswoman, I allowed you to have a question. We do have a motion on the floor. There is a second. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I have discussion.
Keep it germane, please.
Well, I think it is germane when we have comments that say, for example, we're not in favor of our money going to the U.S. government. And I have listening to this, it reminds me that we have a Tenth Circuit opinion called Irby, which the holding of which was that tribal members that were living on restricted land were not able to decide not to pay state income tax or state property tax or state taxes because they were restricted Osages. So this discussion causes me to wonder whether we shouldn't get an opinion about whether Osage Congress members can avoid paying Social Security taxes, not through their, through the nation, but individually, which goes back to the issue of whether we are wage employees or considered W-2, which we currently get. And if we're able as W-2 to avoid the FICA payments, or whether we should be receiving 1099s or should be paying in as if we are 1099. The nation is not who will bear the responsibility if the federal government says you haven't been paying in like you were supposed to. So I feel like this needs to get some backup from accountants, lawyers, folks, the treasurer, folks that can give us guidance on, can we just continue to elect not to pay in any way Social Security taxes? I have concerns about this.
I share your concerns. It is in committee. We've been discussing it. We are now at a point to where there's a motion recommended to Congress with no recommendation. It was seconded. We've had discussion. Is there any further discussion from anyone else? Seeing none. Roll call, please.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Speaker Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Pox?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Chair Bighorse?
Yes. Motion passes. Moving on. Next item is OpenCA 20-41. Again, Congresswoman Whitehorn, you have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairman Bighorse. So one thing I'd like to state that covers both of these fiscal analyses is once they're filed with the clerk of Congress, they do go up on the congressional website attached to the bill number where the public can go in and review the numbers. So as soon as the clerk gets it up there, this fiscal analysis is available to any of the Osage public to review. And I believe they're really good analysis. So as before, I think that one of the questions was about the fiscal analysis for this bill, and it's been presented to you. It's thorough, I believe, to cover this legislation. It shows you what the reductions would be. Let me see, excuse me, I'm not on the correct one. Excuse me. Yeah, I am. It's a 10% reduction. And as the budget analyst pointed out, if both pieces should pass, it will be a slight increase, I believe he said, Mr. Frazier, may I ask you what that total was that you said? I didn't write it down.
If both pieces passed, I'm looking. Sorry, I have different numbers here. I believe it would be a $52,000 reduction in obligations, or about 2.61%.
Okay, thank you. So, also, I stated when I first presented the bill, and it's here on the committee table for you to do the work on. I started with a 10% decrease in salary. That's what I wrote into the bill. I knew when I was drafting it that if both pieces would pass, that there would be a elevation because of in our expenditure because of Social Security, but a decrease in salary. And I knew at that rate there would be a small net gain. So I've heard from other members, I believe that they believe that this cut ought to go deeper. I've heard from some members that they don't support it. So I thought it would be the work of the committee to look at it and see if they thought a 10% cut in pay was where we needed to be as a body of Congress. I am not opposed to this being amended in a downward direction if this committee discusses and believes that that's what needs to happen.
Pauses for a little bit and then it comes back.
It is a good one. That being said, are there any questions from committee members?
Chair Bighorse, this is Alice. I have a question.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you. Just a question to the author. So I haven't heard you, did you write this piece of legislation or author this piece of legislation due to the current situation with the pandemic and the loss of gaming revenue? Is that the reason behind this sponsorship?
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Congresswoman.
Yes, thanks for the question, Congresswoman Goodfox. Yes, that's really what prompted the writing. We were, during the HUNCA session, I believe we were stepping off into some unknown areas of how we were going to meet our congressional budget. I'm going to back up and say the Social Security portion of this, of what we're looking at together, I authored and filed previous to the HUNCA session. I even think I made the filing deadline date and the drafting request date. And this was before this COVID and the economic crisis was unfolding before us. That portion, the Social Security portion, was filed and on the table, already on this committee's table. So back to the question about the bill we're currently considering. Yes, the last day, in the last week or few days, I can't really quote the date. I did try to get a bill that was amending ONCA 1439 discharged from this committee's table. I can't, it's still in the committee. but it was written as a companion bill to the Social Security changing the definition of benefit. That's all it did. But during the last week of session, I did, because of the crisis that we were seeing unfolding before us and the talks that we had with the Gaming Enterprise Board about our revenues, which is almost totally gaming revenue, in a response to what I saw unfolding before us, I tried to get that dismissed so we could work on congressional salaries during that session. I was unsuccessful at that, but we continue to see the economic impact unfold on our nation. So yes, I did file this bill in direct response to what Congress members could do to try to lighten our budgetary load in the light of the COVID pandemic. Social Security portion had been filed previous to all of everything unraveling. We knew it was bad. We just didn't know the extent of it. So anyway, now the two are coming together and they're on this committee's table to consider. So did that answer your question, Congresswoman Goodfox?
It did. I do have some comments, Chair, if I can continue.
Yes, Congresswoman Goodfox.
So just a few things that come to that I'm thinking about. I never it's election year, and we always seem to have every 4 years. Usually I could be wrong. It could be in the in 2 years when we have elections, but I always remember the last couple of election cycles that we're always talking about this subject 1 month before elections. And you know, you hear different things from different people. We do have some people that I'm sure were under the impression that when they decided to run for office, that the money, they had checked into it, and it was they made a conscious decision to run for office based off of what they were seeing at the time. Now that may change. I don't know necessarily that there's ever a good way to increase or reduce when you're talking about people that are running for a position where the salary can be changed before you get there, unless it's maybe set for 4 years down the road. And I don't even know if that's possible. I'm just thinking out loud here. But I also think that right now, there are so many unknowns, and I feel like if we're really going to try to make an impact in the event that, yes, we have to make drastic changes in every branch, I feel like we need to be solidly making a plan. You know, what changes are we going to make to maybe our staffing levels, travel, contracts that we may have? And I feel like we're not even looking at the big picture. By if this gets passed out, it's just not trying to be offensive to the author, but I feel like it's a knee-jerk reaction. And I'm not hearing anything about what we're doing overall from our side of our branch, big picture. And in addition, I even feel like we need to be working with all the branches to solidify a plan in the event that multiple people are going to have to take decreases, so that because we are one big team, we are one nation. And I just feel like this is premature right now. Maybe in a week or a month, when we have better numbers and we really know what we're looking at, then perhaps it is at that time something that we come back to the table and look at. But I just.
Up there.
Appreciate your opinions, and I have some thoughts about some of the things that you said. I'm not wanting to argue, but one of the thoughts that I do have is I believe that the reason sometimes we see this come up around election time is because constitutional language says that we have to make these changes previous to that election date. That's constitutional. So that's why it's here. The election is upcoming. If this is not adopted by Congress and placed into statute before that election day, then this cannot be considered again until 2022. So I think that's some of the reason why you see it come up at that time. The other part of it is I have been thinking, and we can have some of the conversations here at this table, of other measures that we could do as a legislative branch. Congressional Affairs, I believe, has some things on their agenda today that is going to address a moratorium on travel. I agree with that. We should do that. Also, as far as our congressional staff goes, when I first got on Congress, I believe that we had 5 staff members. Let me think here. 3 clerks, a receptionist, budget analyst, and I believe that our legislative council was on payroll, maybe 5 to 6 to 7 staff members. This committee has reduced our staff, well, not the committee, Congress has reduced our working staff down to a budget analyst, to a clerk and an assistant clerk. So we are down to minimal staff. And so I've looked at that just as one Congress member and don't see how this branch can take staff reduction. So I'm just letting you know, I have been considering these things. And to me, this is part of trying to take measures to decrease our load on the nation as a whole. I am very eager to hear the executive planning. And I know that Chief Standing Bear told me that they're working on it. And I've talked and I know that they're working on that, and the nation is working together. But the fact is the executive makes those decisions about their staffing needs. That's their decision. We will make our decisions about our staffing needs. So back to the legislation, I don't believe it's knee-jerk. I didn't write it as knee-jerk. I believe that it is an effort to contribute to lowering our pay somewhat as an effort to contribute to this overall economic downturn. If it's not done now, it won't be able to be done until 2022 because the Constitution dictates that. So that's my thoughts on why it's here, and it is not a knee-jerk reaction because I know what the law says about decreasing our salaries, and I know the economic state the nation is in right now. And we heard from the chief that this $28 million cannot be used to pay salaries. That was my understanding of it. although we're receiving that money, it cannot be used to pay salaries. We have appropriated other dollars, and the PPP can be used to pay salaries for an.
You don't do anything, and it just comes back on, right, after like a minute. Can anyone hear us? Above my pay grade. Congresswoman Edwards is speaking. So.
Under compensation, that the annual salary and expense allowance of the members of the Osage Nation Congress shall be fixed at the first session of the legislature held after the Constitution takes effect. Presiding officers may receive increased compensation for their duties. When the Congress first met, following inauguration in 2006, we did just that. We set the annual salary and expense allowance, and the annual salary was $56,000 a year. And the expense allowance, which paid for all expenses that a Congress member might incur, including health insurance for the member, was part of that $9,000 expense allowance. Now, approximately 4 years ago, over time, things changed, benefits changed, the way the nation paid benefits changed. They increased, as a matter of fact. My recollection is salary, the compensation for two officers, and that was the speaker and the second speaker. Through amendment, what came out was that there was a salary of $65,000 plus benefits plus an extra expense allowance for the speaker and the second speaker. My goal is to get us back to the point, and that resulted in an increase in compensation. I believe that based on the amount of work that's done, based on the commitment that is required, that $56,000 salary is adequate and should be the salary for Osage Nation Congress members, the same salary that was taken by the and set by the first Congress. So my goal is to get us back to where we were in the beginning, because I think that that was the wise and prudent course. I did not agree that we should have raised our compensation, and I don't think that we should perhaps decrease it now. But I do think it needs to be the compensation that it, the starting point needs to be the compensation that was approved in 2006. Whether we want to take a decrease for the next 2 years due to revenue failures, I understand that. And I think that that is something else that should be debated. But I think it's important for us to get back to the starting point. That would avoid conversations about travel, because travel is part of that expense allowance. That would avoid conversations about why the staff should make your travel arrangements as opposed to you making your own travel arrangements, that would wipe out that discussion and those problems. It would address the computer allowance that we have now, that has now crept its way into our budgets. It would require that the Congress members pay for their computers and keep their computers up. I mean, we know even right now, even with this expense allowance that's been granted to the members, many of the members can't participate in video conferencing right now. And from my way of thinking, that's a problem. I mean, we've got the Minerals Council having a meeting where everybody's up on the screen, and we can't accomplish that. There's a controversy over the amount of money that's being paid in by the nation for benefits. The nation is currently paying in different amounts for each individual Congress member who's taking the benefits. That's resulting in disparate compensation for Congress members. I think that's a constitutional problem. So to me, we can't keep saying, oh, well, this is for another day. We need, just like the last bill, we need to address these things and get this into law, because currently we have a policy that actually is being interpreted in a way that doesn't follow the policy. And policy can change. And policy that changes that affects the compensation to the members, in my opinion, goes against Section 7 of the Constitution. So I would really like for us to continue to work on this and come to a resolution, give the kind of guidance that's needed in law so that there's not disparate compensation being paid, except as provided that the officers can get additional compensation, and work from there. Thank you.
Chairman Dick Horse.
Thank you, Congresswoman Edwards. Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to make a motion to pass out ONCA 20-41 to the floor of Congress with no recommendation.
He's talking.
Did that go through? Need a sign that says we're having technical difficulties or something. Can you all hear us?
To adjournment.
Close to adjournment.
Second, Walker.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 We are adjourned.
This is the assistant clerk. Who made that motion to adjourn, please?
Baker.
Thank you.
I don't know if there's any members left on, but be sure and watch for the signature pages on